Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a forum for all things public information related for police, fire, EMS, and local government. A place to grow and develop your public information skills. I am your host, Robert Tornaveni. I have over 11 years of experience as a PIO and 27 years as a law enforcement officer. I am proud to announce that we have partnered with the PIO Toolkit to expand and grow the podcast. Thank you to Christine Townsend and Law Publications for this amazing opportunity. To contact the show, email robert@piotoolkit.com. We need your feedback on how we're doing. Please rate us on whatever platform you listen or send us a review via email. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episodes. Thank you for listening. Sit back and enjoy the next episode. Good afternoon. Today on the PIO Podcast, we have the Public Information Officer from the Beaumont Police Department, Mercedes Cashmere. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Mercedes, let's hear about your background and how did you become the PIO for the department?
So let's see. I've worked for the department going on 16 years. I have a bachelor's degree from Pepperdine University in psychology. I actually started, we had a local or regional narcotics task force. So I started as basically an office manager for that. In late 2015, we decided we had a need to really start communicating with our community via social media. And so I ended up just sort of stepping into the position just as an ancillary duty to some of the other things that I was doing at the time. And then from there, it just kind of developed into almost a full-time position. I still do other duties for the department, but I actually even recently started doing communications for our city as well. So,
Okay. So where is Beaumont located and how large of an agency is it?
So we are located in Southern California. We're about halfway between the city of San Bernardino and Palm Springs, if you're familiar with where those are. So we have about 52,000 residents as of the last census. So we're actually one of the largest or fastest growing cities in Riverside County and actually even in the state of California right now.
Okay. And how large is the agency itself?
I'm sorry. We have 50 sworn officers right now. We in total between non-sworn and sworn, we're probably at about 70.
Okay. And you said your population is about 52,000. And if it's growing, is there obviously the landmass in the city to accept that?
Yeah, so we are 34 square miles. So we actually serve quite a bit, pretty large area. And with the growth, we are adding additional officers. So we're looking at even going up to about 54 officers come the next fiscal year.
So when you first became a PIO, what challenges did you encounter early on?
So back in 2015, right about that time, our city actually was going through a pretty turbulent time. We had 7 of our city officials that were arrested on public corruption charges, indicted and arrested. Oh my. So that created, yes. So, and that included our chief of police at the time. So, obviously that created an issue with our community with trust and transparency and credibility and all those things. So I walked right into that. We did have a new chief of police that came on as an interim in July of 2012. So he started right about the time as all that was developing. So he brought me over. And we decided we really needed to rebrand the department, even though the officials had been arrested for these, the corruption. The rank and file was actually out there doing great work. And we really had to rebrand, tell our story, let our community know what the officers are actually doing, and change some of the narrative that was going around. So we did that. It took a few years. We dealt with a lot of complaints and a lot of angry people for a while. And since then, we've changed a lot of attitudes because they've seen some of the great work we do.
Oh, okay, great. Well, you know, that's important because obviously the only way you're going to build trust is to highlight the things you guys are doing well. And, you know, it, again, try and keep that message going over and over again.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. How many social media platforms are you currently operating for the department?
So currently between the police department and the city, I have about 12.
So you're running the city's social media platforms as well?
Yes.
Wow, that's quite a role to handle.
Yes, that's a lot. Plus I do our department budget and contracts and all kinds of stuff. I have a very full plate.
Oh my goodness. How do you find time to do anything? Goodness.
I don't know.
So you obviously have probably Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. What other ones are you running?
Nextdoor. The police department has a YouTube account. The city has a YouTube account as well, but I don't do a lot of stuff with that. It's our public meetings and they automatically get published to YouTube.
Okay.
And then I have a LinkedIn profile where I post some of our job openings and recruiting. So,
okay. So going back to like the early days of the pandemic, how did that impact your ability to connect with the community? Because obviously social distancing came into play. How did you handle that from the PIO's role?
So 2020 was a very challenging year, I know, for everybody, but you know, there was some events that had come up as far as like doing drive-bys. So when people were stuck at home, we did do some drive-by birthdays and graduation events, which helped even from a distance, being able to connect with our community. Our call volume at that time had gone down quite a bit because people weren't really out on the road. So we weren't having some of the traffic and collision things that we usually have. So it gave us a little more time to be proactive on some things. So you know, I put together a video at one point just talking about, you know, masking up and that, you know, we all need to work together and that kind of thing. So it really helped. Plus we sort of took a hands-off approach as far as the enforcement with some of the mandates that were coming down. We left that to the legislature to decide, and, we kind of let our public police themselves when it came to that, because we knew at some point all those mandates would go away and we'd be left holding the bag if we were trying to enforce all those types of things. So it actually worked really well.
Okay. And what apps, programs, or services do you use to assist you in your PIO job?
So I tend to do things. So a lot of people schedule things. I tend not to do that because I found that, especially with police communications, that things change quite a bit. So I don't do a lot of scheduling. I have Canva that I use for some graphics. I have Filmora that I use for putting together some videos. And a lot of the stuff is just on the fly. I have built a great relationship with my officers, and they send me photos and videos of things that they're out doing in the community. So if I can use it, I'll either hold on to it for a great day to put it out, or if it's something crime related and happening right then and there, then it always helps to have that image that the public can see exactly what's going on from our perspective.
Okay. All right, good. And now going back to 2020 again, I got to ask this question because I've been asking this of a lot of people. How was your agency, if at all, impacted during the George Floyd protests and so on that occurred over that summer?
So we felt the impacts from the incident and then the tensions that followed. We were monitoring our social media channels at the time for any uprisings or organized protesting protests that were being formed. A lot of the bigger cities around us were experiencing large protests with, violence and, vandalism, all those kinds of things. We did find at one point there was a group in town that was organizing a march. And so what we did to be proactive is we reached out to the organizer, and then we actually met with them. We figured out what it was their goal was, where they were going to go, what their plans were, who they were expecting to attend. And then we actually had officers go out and meet with them during the event. A couple of our officers engaged some of the attendees and just had some candid conversations with them about, some of the misunderstandings between law enforcement and the public and all those kinds of things. And then some of our administrators actually walked with the protesters. So we actually only had minor incidents during our protest, but that later that night, we actually, several of our surrounding agencies had some major protests and incidents that went down, that wasn't at all like ours. So I attribute it to that and us being proactive and really reaching out, saying we wanted to protect our residents' First Amendment right to be able to protest and express their concerns and express their feelings, but that we wanted to do it peacefully. And that was actually really successful for us.
Excellent. Now, post-pandemic and post-protest period, how has your messaging changed, or has it changed?
So I don't think we've really changed our communications since the protests. I think we've just continued to reflect who we are, and we've continued to engage our community, sharing the work that our officers do. We've been extremely fortunate in that our community supports our department. They trust us. And so because of that, we just really haven't had to address some of the issues that some of our other law enforcement partners have had to. So I think we've been fortunate that with that, our agency reflects our demographic as far as, race and gender and all those things. And so that helps. So when they see us, they see themselves, because it's not just, it looks like their neighbor. We look like their neighbor. We look like other community members. We're not, this force out there that they have to be at odds with.
Oh, excellent. Very good. And what guidance would you give to someone who wants to get involved in becoming a public information officer and enter the field?
So basically what I would advise is that imitation is the best form of flattery, and do your research, get to know other agencies of similar size and of demographics, and see what they're doing, see what's successful, see what they're maybe not so good at, and then adapt your plan according to that. That's what I've done, is just really pay attention to what's going on around me and with other agencies. And it really makes a huge difference, because you can see some things that people do really well, and you can adapt that for your purposes. And then you can see things that maybe aren't done so well, and you can steer clear of those. And that has really helped me along the way in being successful and connecting with our community.
All right, some rapid fire questions here. So what do you do to relax and disconnect since you're so busy?
That is something I struggle with. That work-life balance is really hard to do. But my husband and I, we purchased a home last year that needed a full renovation. So when I'm not at work, we're out there and we're building stuff and got projects. And so it's a good physical and mental break away from what's happening here at the office.
Okay. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate for sure.
Favorite musician or musical act?
That's a good question. I tend to like country music, and I'm not really specific about who I like. It's just, if it's got a good beat and good lyrics, then it usually rings with me.
Okay. That's good. What is a must-read book in your mind?
Well, must-read book. So if I could be a little bit candid, since I don't have a lot of time, I really don't have time to read books. However, I do have a women's Bible study that I do once a week. And so we spend some time reading the Bible and connecting and fellowship with other ladies. And it just really helps kind of clear out my brain and be able to connect with other people and then read the Bible and get some good tips and good information out of that. That helps keep me a little more grounded.
Oh, so there's part of your disconnect there too. Excellent. Uh-huh. If you could have coffee with anyone living or deceased, who would it be and why?
Let's see. Maybe probably George Washington. I'd really like to get into his brain about founding the United States and the intentions and all the things that they had meant and how they had come up with the Constitution and all that stuff to really establish the United States. I'd really like to pick their brain about that and figure out how they knew the things that they were developing then would still be important today.
Favorite drink of choice?
So gotta be Starbucks. I drink a venti latte with one pump of white mocha every day. Creature of habit.
I don't know many PIOs that don't drink coffee. That's so.
Yeah. Caffeine is life.
What would be your superpower if you could get one?
My superpower would probably be to be a mediator. Being able to get people to sit down and find common ground and figure out we're a lot more alike than we are different. I feel like with all the division we have in the country right now, that someone that could really get people to see that we're all on the same page, we all want the same things, it would really bring a peace.
I like that. You're the second person now today that has brought up that same thing for that very question. Excellent. So final thoughts, anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Thank you for having me on your show. I really look forward to it and glad we were able to connect.
So was I. And how can people best reach out to you if they'd like to learn more or connect?
So I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me under Mercedes Cashmere, or you can email me, and my email address is mcashmere, C-A-S-H-M-E-R, at beaumontpd.org. And we are in Beaumont, California. Don't confuse us with Beaumont, Texas.
There you go. And I will add all of that into the show notes so that people can look for it when they listen to the show.
Sounds great.
Cashmere, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.